Hello, and welcome to the Midwest Genealogy Center's Tell Me a Story program, an initiative to record America's family history in sound. Oral histories are one of the most personal and rewarding ways to preserve family stories. The Tell Me a Story sessions are 45-minute interviews between two people with the assistance of a trained facilitator. Participants will receive a compact disc with the full interview. A copy will be archived at the Midwest Genealogy Center and, with permission, later made available to the public. And now, another story.
So good afternoon. This is Melanie Nelson, a volunteer for the Midwest Genealogy Center, where today, September 10th, 2016, the Mid-Continent Public Library's annual Veterans Salute marks the 25th anniversary of the Gulf War. I had the distinct pleasure to conduct an oral interview with Army Specialist 4, Stillwell, a unit supply clerk. So let's start, if you would, by stating your full name and describe for us what you did in the Army.
Larry Stillwell. I was a unit supply clerk / TAMS / truck driver / company clerk.
What's a TAM?
Table of something. It's for the motor pool maintenance. It's okay. Like a motor pool maintenance log.
Okay.
So they kept track of the maintenance on the vehicles and the trucks and the tanks and so on and so on.
Okay. So what's a day in the life like for a unit supply clerk / motor pool / TAM?
Wake up, crack of dawn, PT, breakfast, go to the motor pool, sit there, do the paperwork all day, go get lunch, come back after lunch, do paperwork again, do the 4:30 formation and the night SARs, except unless you were deployed, then it was just 24/7 guard duty and stuff like that, driving back and forth.
What's a motor pool?
It's a centralized location for all the, like, the vehicles, the helicopters, motorized vehicles that the unit was working with.
And so you monitored the security of those vehicles?
I did the paperwork.
You did the paperwork?
For the maintenance logs and, okay. Like, if a vehicle had a problem, I ordered the supplies for it.
Okay. Okay, great. So how did you enter the service, and why did you decide to do that?
I had a brother that was in the Army before me, and I was 16, 17, I dropped out. I got my GED out of school and just bumming around. Didn't know what I wanted to do. So I talked to my brother and he said, join up. So I got to travel and see the world on Uncle Sam. Went to Europe, traveled all over Europe. Uh-huh. Went to Panama, went to Puerto Rico on my own time. Went to Alaska on Uncle Sam, went to California on Uncle Sam. Did a red flag thing on Uncle Sam, which was fun.
What's a red flag?
It's a thing where they send a unit over there and they have a simulated war game where they have people driving Russian equipment and look like Russian soldiers and you have a little war.
So kind of a simulated war to practice. Mm-hmm.
It was in the desert in California. It was like a month long.
Mm-hmm. So where did you go to basic?
Fort Jackson, South Carolina.
Tell us a little bit about your basic training experience. What do you remember?
Running everywhere, being in the end of the formation. We had to do our PT right before we went in the mess hall, and we had like 2 minutes to eat. And since I was at the end of the line, I had even less time than that to eat. So it was open your mouth and shove the plate in your mouth, basically.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm. Why were you at the end of the line? Was it alphabetical?
It was alphabetical. Mm-hmm. Mine was S, so.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then what happened after basic training? Where did you go?
I went to AIT at Fort Jackson.
What's AIT?
Advanced training. Okay. They give you your skill training.
Okay.
And I went to Fort Hood after that. And I was there for about a year and a half. And then I went to Germany. 8th ID.
So where in Germany is 8th ID?
I was in the Ruhr Valley, but it was anywhere from Frankfurt, Wiesbaden, Mainz. I was in Bad Kreuznach.
Mm-hmm.
That was basically in the southern part, southern west part of Europe.
Mm-hmm.
When did you join the service? What time frame are we talking about right now?
I went DEP. I joined up in June of 80, and I actually went in November of 81.
Okay. So then you were over in Germany in 82, 83 time frame?
83, 84.
Okay. Anything you recall, any great experiences from Germany? Because at that time, that was before the wall came down, right?
Yeah, that was the evil empire.
Yeah. So what do you remember from being over in Germany?
Going to Frankfurt one weekend and sitting at a bar, and the table next to us was the Russian soldiers doing the same thing we were doing. So we joined tables, and we sat there and passed beers around and everything and talked with Russians all night. And then about a month later, we were in a place called Fulda, the Fulda Gap. And I was in a signal company, and we were looking, and you could pull out your binoculars, and you could look about 2 kilometers on the other side of the hillside, or the other hillside away from you. The Russians were doing the same thing you were doing. So
were the Russians speaking English, or?
Some of them knew English, very, very broken.
Uh-huh.
Like, hi, how you doing, hello, uh-huh. Stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
So.
Did you ever find it odd at all, or kind of a unique experience that you were able to communicate, and, you know.
It was something I'll never forget, sitting down with the Russian and listening to his horror stories about being his, he wasn't able to, he was forcefully drafted, the guy I remember talking to.
Uh-huh.
And him telling horror stories about the stuff they used to clean off the wings on the aircraft and the helicopters was alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
But if you drank it, it basically could kill you.
Mm-hmm.
And he knew guys that were, it made them blind.
Mm-hmm.
Because they cooked it up somehow to make it not so bad, and they still drank it anyway.
Mm. Wow.
So then after your Germany assignment, what happened? Where did you go?
Home.
And home is where?
It was St. Louis, but then I came up here, Kansas City, and went from there.
So did you leave the Army while you were in St. Louis?
I was doing a reserve thing, and I did it for 2 months, and then I came up here for a job, and then I fell through the cracks. Okay. I never went back.
Okay. So when you think back on your Army experience, what are your thoughts about it, having served?
I'm glad I did it, because I got to travel, I got to meet a lot of different people, I got to see things I never would have been able to see otherwise.
Yeah. What do you remember as, you've talked a lot about traveling, what was your best travel experience? Your most favorite spot, maybe?
Well, when I was in Texas, me and three buddies took a MAC flight to Puerto Rico, and we basically slept on the beach for a long weekend. And it cost us $10 to fly from Texas to Puerto Rico, and then Puerto Rico back.
That sounds fun.
Played beach bumps for a long week.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So did you frequently participate in exercises like the Red Flag that you were talking about? And
we did Red Flag, we did Reforger 82, I was part of Reforger 83 in Germany, and 84, we were part of it too.
Mm-hmm. Did your job change at all when you were doing the exercises? Or was it basically the same?
It was basically the same thing.
Okay.
When we were in the field, I was a truck driver, so I was driving the food back and forth. And every once in a while, I'd drive the petroleum truck, which is a fuel truck, and a tank behind us. I'd drive back, sit in the woods all day. Guys would come up, and I'd top them off. And I did that for probably a day and a half one time in Fulda.
Okay.
Sitting in my truck, sleeping, and some guy would come on, knock on the door, and I'd give him his truck gas or diesel or whatever he needed.
Yeah. I would imagine that during some of those exercises, the petroleum truck might be a fairly good target of, trying to remove the petroleum truck from service. Were you ever directly involved in any of those types of maneuvers during an exercise?
No, because I was far enough back. Mm-hmm. I was a rear echelon mother. You could fill in the blanks.
Yeah. Okay.
So I was about 2 kilometers behind where the front line was supposed to be.
Okay.
So.
So why did you decide to leave the Army?
I just, I could, my time was up and I was done. Mm-hmm. So I had enough, I guess.
Okay. Are you active with, you know, keeping up with any of your military friends or active in military groups?
I belong to the Legion. Okay. And every once in a while I go online, try and find people that I went to boot camp with or AIT.
Yeah.
Or I was stationed with in Germany or Texas.
Yeah.
I look for them on Facebook, but I haven't found anybody yet.
When you were in the service, what was the feeling among the other people in the service? I mean, you mentioned that you were doing war games against the Russians. Was that a time when everybody was pretty scared of the Russians, and maybe
they were a thought in your head? Yeah.
Sorry.
They were a thought that something could happen.
So. And that was the main sort of emphasis of the military, right, at that time?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the evil empire was the bad guy.
Yeah.
So if you could give advice to someone interested in joining the Army or going into the military today, what kind of advice would you give them from your experience?
Look long and hard and find a job that you can use. Don't go in and be an infantryman. Mm-hmm. I got my oldest son, and he's in the Navy, and he had his AMP license as an aircraft mechanic. And he's in the Navy doing that. Part of his, that's the job he signed up for. He just didn't take some little BS job just to do his 3 or 4 years. Mm-hmm. And he's been in, it's currently 9 years.
Wow.
So. And my son was a Marine. I never thought he'd be that. Mm-hmm. But he dropped out of school, too, and mm-hmm. he came home one day. I joined the Marines.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So you have a son in the Marines and a son in the Army? Or a son in the Navy?
The Marine, he did his 4 years and got out, and his older brother was still in the Navy.
Okay. So you come from a military family, somewhat.
Knock on wood.
Yeah.
How about your, either of your parents or uncles, aunts, any other family members?
My dad was in the Air Force in the 50s, and there was a couple times when I had to do guard duty in the Army that I went to the base he was at. It was an old missile base, mm-hmm. and he was a radar technician, and I did guard duty at the base he was in, mm-hmm. in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So I did it probably 3 or 4 times.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It was an abandoned base, but it still had missile silos in the ground that they had to watch. There was nothing in them, but they still had to watch them.
Yeah. So he was of the evil empire generation, too. Did you all compare stories of...
Just where he was at
mm-hmm.
when we got back.
Mm-hmm.
My father-in-law was in the... He was a B-17 mechanic in World War II.
Mm-hmm.
He did... He was in Africa. He was in England. Mm-hmm. He worked on the bombs... Something to do with the bombs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So...
It's amazing how the military experience can shape your life.
Yeah, how did it impact you till today?
It got me thinking, working with my buddies in the motor pool, that I liked working on vehicles. And I got out of school, I went to ITT, and I got associates in automotive maintenance and diesel mechanics. And I've basically been doing that ever since, working with my hand, doing mechanical
mm-hmm.
stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So
it kind of opened you up to, it helped you find your profession, if you will,
yeah,
for your life. And it sounds like you really enjoyed the travel piece
mm-hmm.
as well, meeting new people and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. There used to be a saying, travel to different places, meet new people and kill them. That was a bumper sticker.
You think back, any regrets?
Every once in a while I think about it, that if I had stayed in where I would have been. Because
mm-hmm.
I connected with a guy, when I was in Germany, he came right out of boot camp. He was an automotive mechanic, 63B, and I found him. He was a first sergeant, and he was he had just retired. I found him on Facebook, and he was still in. He'd been in all this time. Mm-hmm. And his big thing was he wanted to play golf. He mm-hmm. was a golf nut. Mm-hmm. He wanted to go to Europe, and all he wanted to talk about was go to Ireland or Scotland and see the original golf course.
Mm-hmm. So. And so you envisioned that that could have been, you know, how your career might have gone had you stayed in? Yeah.
But I wasn't too good on giving. They had us do a thing one time where one person was in charge of the formation every week. And every time I got out there, I gave it to somebody else. I didn't want to be in charge. Mm. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be. I never did want to be a leader in the military. Mm.
Mm-hmm. And do you think that eventually hampered you somehow? That it kind of got in the way, or?
No, I saw how the people were above me. I had bad experiences with officers and senior enlisted. Mm. It kind of burned me out on them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Is there any kind of? Yeah, I'll give you an example. My brother-in-law was in the Navy for I don't know how many years. I guess 4 years, I think. But the Navy shaped him. Those 4 years shaped him in certain ways that he never lost. Like, for example, you know, he still makes his bed in the military way, and he will still fold his socks, you know, the way that they taught him back then. And I'm just wondering if the military has influenced you in certain ways like that you've never, you know, that you still do today.
Well, some kind of ways I find myself, like I'm a carpenter on the side, and it taught me to be a perfectionist. Mm-hmm. I build a cabinet for somebody, and if it's for money, then I'll make sure they're 100% satisfied before they pay me. Because it has to be right, just like it was in the military. The paperwork had to be perfect. So mm-hmm. you couldn't make no mistakes, then it would throw everything off. Mm-hmm. And people could get hurt over that.
Mm-hmm. So your sense of perfectionism.
Mm-hmm. And there's also ways, like my youngest son, he dropped out halfway through his junior year. And my wife coined the phrase, he was a vampire for the last year. It was a year, almost a year and a half before he joined the Marines, that he would go out with his buddies at 8 o'clock at night and come back about 4 in the morning and sleep all day and get up and do the same thing. Mm-hmm. And in that time, he got arrested 4 times. We had to post bond 3 times for him. One time it was dismissed. And to hear him say he's going to the Marines, it was, why are you doing that? And they tell you that the Marines will try. They spend a week or so breaking you down, and then they remold you.
Yeah.
We saw him graduate in California. He was in the back of the formation, sitting in the bleachers. And as soon as he saw us, he stands up and he's walking the formation doing this. And I found out later on the drill sergeant saw him and basically busted his butt the rest of the day because he did that.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, well, maybe he's got some responsibility. He's got responsibility, but he's still got the kind of wild streak in him. I thought the Marines would break that, but they didn't.
They didn't.
No, he's still got that streak. Yeah. But he still has his high and tight and everything like that. He's got earrings and all that stuff, but his hair is high and tight, and he keeps a schedule. Mm. He's working. He's got a job at the library right now working. He was here earlier. Mm. So that's how I found out about this thing. He mm-hmm. told me about it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, any other military experiences that you can think of or to share? Coolest story that you tell people?
Well, there was one time in Germany. Actually, there was three of them, that they tell you about. They made the Stars and Stripes that there was this officer going on the Autobahn to Checkpoint Charlie, and he stopped on the side of the road and got out to pick some flowers for his daughter. And they tell you that if your car breaks down, don't get out. And he stopped his car and got out, and the Russian soldier shot him in the back and killed him because he was outside of his car picking flowers.
Wow.
So.
Wow.
And told me about electricity. I was in a signal company in Germany. We were in the mountains in Fulda in the wintertime. and real high up, and these guys didn't ground their truck properly. And they had a pickup truck with a rat rig on the back, which is a big box with radar stuff in it, or radio stuff in it. And they had their antenna up on top, and the radar or the radio got hit by lightning and blew the truck up with two guys inside it. Wow. And two guys I'd known for like 6 months before that.
Oh, no.
They found a boot here, his hat over here.
Oh no.
The frame on the truck was left. Part of the motor was still in there. Everything else was in pieces.
Mm-hmm.
That taught me about electricity, about make sure it's grounded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So.
Wow.
So if you're in Germany in the mid-80s, what did that feel like? What were the people like in Germany during that time? Were they welcoming of Americans?
Mm-hmm. I had a German girlfriend. Uh-huh. I almost brought her home, but uh-huh. that fell through.
Uh-huh. And so what was the, how did they feel about the Russians? I mean, what was the sentiment at that time for Germany?
They were far enough south of it not to have to actually worry about the Russians, but when we got into the country, they gave you a little course about people trying to, the KGB officers get in there and they give you a girlfriend, and yeah. she comes up with this sob story about, oh, my parents are still on the other side of the border, you got to help me out.
Mm-hmm.
I actually knew this guy in our, he wasn't in my company, he was in the company next door in the Signal battalion I was in, that he got stuck with that, and he told his roommate about it, and his roommate told the MPs about it, and they caught him on a Sunday morning walking out with an encoder, which is a top secret piece of equipment, walking across the border pool. He was going to go give it to his girlfriend so she could get her parents back across the border.
Mm-hmm.
And last time I knew, he was still doing life in Leavenworth.
Oh my gosh.
He got in a fight with one of the MPs and did a Tyson Ollie. I think it was Tyson Ollie that bit the ear.
Yeah.
He bit three quarters of the guy's ear off.
Yeah.
And got shot in the back, in the back of the arm over it.
Oh.
And like I said, he's still doing life in Leavenworth as far as I know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So just stuff like that. They tell you to watch out.
Who, if you could leave this, your story, you know, to someone else, who would it be? Who would you like to hear about this, you know, your story, your experience?
My kids.
Have you shared it with them before?
Bits and pieces of it.
Mm-hmm.
What do you want them to take away from the story?
Be proud of who you are. Be good for your country. Your country's been good for you.
Your son works at the, you said here, at the genealogy library?
He works at he works for the library. Mm-hmm. And he was here today volunteering for the veterans thing. He works down at the one on 24 Highway, I think it is, the main office.
Yeah.
He's
yeah.
one of the distribution clerks or something.
Okay. And are you guys interested in genealogy and that kind of thing? How your military story fits in with the rest of your history?
My dad's really into the genealogy stuff. He's got his little timeline for his side of his family dated back to the 1600s.
Wow.
So he gave all the kids and the grandkids a copy of it. So
sounds like a lot of work he's done.
He's come here, he's come to, got four or five genealogy centers in the U.S. He went to one in Europe.
Yeah.
He's been to one in England, Europe. And I think in France, he's been to one. He came here in the mid-50s on a boat from England.
Hmm.
So I guess that's what got him into it.
Mm-hmm.
What caused him to come over from England?
Work.
Hmm.
He had a brother that worked over here, and then he came over here to join him, and then it went from there.
They were post-World War II then, in England in the 1950s, right?
He remembers the Battle of Britain being probably 4 or 5 years old, being in the subways during the Blitz.
Oh, really?
He's told us about that.
Mm-hmm. And then what kind of work did he find here? What did he decide to do?
He was a computer programmer from way back, and he's got his master's from MIT, and he's uh-huh. always been to IT. Uh-huh. He can rebuild a computer in his sleep.
Wow. Interesting. Hmm. All right. Well, we'll land there. And thank you very much for your time and sharing your stories with us. And thank you very much for your service to the United States.
Thank you. You too.
Army. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.